Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Speaking of kicking some tookus, Russell Westbrook did just that with the Los Angeles Lakers last night. This is becoming a theme for the Lakers. I mean, everybody's using them as a prop.
You know what they
Remember
are?
Remember James Harden had a 50-point triple-double against them?
Yes, they're the general hospital of the NBA.
Right.
Everybody gets well and everybody eats off of them.
Yes, that's a great point because the Thunder were in desperate need of a victory.
Desperate.
And just in time, just in the nick of time, here come the Lakers. So anyway, Westbrook, let's hear the call. Here's what he did.
Russell's done it. He gathers his 20th rebound. 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 21 assists for the Force. Playing to the crowd, pounding his chest, and getting a standing ovation at Chesapeake Arena.
And that's from courtesy Thunder Radio Network.
And let me give the context a little bit, because this makes it even more impressive, Rob, what he did last night. He was friends with Nipsey Hussle, the slain rapper who was killed a couple of days ago. And
what a sad story that is.
Really, really sad. And not far away from, you know, he grew up on Crenshaw in the 60s, around 60th Street. Was part of the rolling 60s Crips, but then, you know, got really positive over the last several years and was doing a ton of great stuff in the community, had his own business. That's actually where he was killed. And
a clothing
really
store, right?
Be an example. Yeah. And uplift a lot of the people and be an example for them and inspire them in the neighborhood. And because of the 60s, that was the number, the rolling 60s Crips around 60th Street and Crenshaw. Russell Westbrook made up his mind before the game to dedicate the performance to Nipsey Hussle, and he wanted to get the 20-20-20 because obviously that adds up to 60. And he goes out and does it. That's first of all, to do that is nearly impossible. But to predict that you're going to do it, it's almost like, and Nick Wright said this today on First Things First, the Babe Ruth telling the sick kid in the
hospital that I'm going to hit a home run for you.
Right. I mean, to go out, this is something 2020 that's only been done once other than Westbrook, and that was Wilt Chamberlain, who himself, as the author of the NBA record book, I call the NBA record book the biography of Wilt Chamberlain.
No, his name is all over it.
Oh, my God. He just got records that nobody will ever touch. And this would have been one we thought was untouchable. So for Westbrook to go do it, Chamberlain did it once. Now Westbrook, all of 6'3" tall, goes and does it again. 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 21 assists in their demolition of the Lakers. And Rob, I tell you, I mean, incredibly impressive performance. James Harden has had the biggest wow moments of the season with, what, 2 50-point triple-doubles, 5-6 games of 57 or more points. But I tell you what, I think what Westbrook did last night was more impressive simply because it's only been done one other time, and that was by the giant Wilt Chamberlain in an era where, you know, the competition with him, they just couldn't stand up to him and Bill Russell, Elgin Baylor, Oscar Robertson, and those guys' numbers are cartoonish because of it. And for Westbrook to do that in today's NBA, I just got to tip my hat to him.
And I don't want to take anything away from the moment, but, you know, like, I think sometimes LeBron is so caught up with always having an excuse or something. And it was kind of weird because he showed up at the press conference after the game with a body cast on, but then he realized he didn't even play, right? He always has an excuse. Chris, you know.
I was wondering, how in the world does LeBron James get in this conversation? Then I realized, remembered who I was speaking to.
Yes, Rob Parker. You know it. But you know what I mean? You always show with something.
I get it. I get it.
All right.
I'm laughing. I'm dying in here.
Okay, there you go.
In my throat.
All right, I'm just trying to help. That's all. Trying to help you along with the comedy.
So what'd you think? Your man, James Harden, that's who you love. Are his 50-point triple-doubles more impressive than this or what?
I mean, because no one really has done it. You know what I mean? I mean, other than Wilt, that's what makes it spectacular. That doesn't take anything away from what Harden's done. But when you talk about only one other, you know, this league's been around for a long time, and that only one other person was able to do it is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it was Wilt. If it was Michael Jordan, who we both agree is the GOAT, or LeBron James, or Magic, you know, somebody, I mean, Wilt, like I said, his numbers, the 100 points in a game, the 50 points per game for a season, you know, the 44 points a game for the season, like all his numbers are just unapproachable. And here Westbrook is doing something that we only thought Wilt could do. Against, you know, in a watered down league at that point. And so I got to give him his props. And of course, they won. Now, I'm impressed that he didn't say, let me go score 60.
Right.
You know, instead he said, let me do it in a way that's definitely going to help our team win. That's more impressive and speaks to his intelligence, because when he gets a triple double, I mean, they win at an alarming rate. More than 70% of his games they win when he gets a triple double.
And that's what's the most impressive.
Not necessarily.
Right.
Yes.
That's why I've always said, like, if they had a terrible record and he was getting triple doubles, I would nearly think in the same fashion. I would be like, well, these are just empty numbers because they don't happen.
It still would be impressive, no, I think.
Right, but losing, but no. Yeah, I'm just saying, when people win, it's hard to like poo-poo anything. You know what I mean? Like,
no
look
question.
At them, so.
No question. And Rob G., our producer, he tried to diss Westbrook because he's mad that he didn't join the Lakers a few years ago.
He said, what does he call him? He calls him future Laker.
He is a future Laker. He's on the starting five of the future Lakers.
You've been
team.
Saying that for like 7 years.
He's got everybody.
Look, I didn't say we're getting him right now, but we're getting him
at some point.
You're
going to get him when he's old?
That's fine.
Is that what's happening now with the Lakers?
That's what happened with LeBron. We got him when he was old too. Oh, Kawhi didn't like that one.
So,
all right.
So go ahead and share your little spiel on Westbrook. I know you're dying to get
Well,
at
first
it.
Off, you know that I'm a big Russell Westbrook fan.
He's the closest thing to
Kobe that I've seen, where he leaves it all out on the court. He gives you your dollar's worth. I really appreciate him as a player. But until he has this triple-double, this stat success translate to the playoffs, I can't be too impressed by it. He's gone. Since KD left, he's one and done every time. So how impressed can I be by Russell Westbrook getting all these stats if they're not translating to wins?
I hear you, but here's the only thing. Right now, he's not in the playoffs. I get, like, long term, but you just have to look at what he's done to this point. All right? Now, we don't know what's going to happen. I know that they're limping into the playoffs. But if they run and run, get to a second round or do something, then you have to look at it differently. But I understand what you're saying. I do.
Well, Rob, what you both have to understand, I've accepted what Russell Westbrook is. I've come to grips with it. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. He's going to be an icon, meaning that 30 years from now, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, people will be talking about that Russell Westbrook. That guy averaged a triple-double 3 straight years. Who knows? Maybe it'll be 4 or 5 straight years. But he's not going to win a championship. Now, he's not Matthew Stafford, and he just puts up all these numbers in the regular season and doesn't have any winning to go along with it. He's going to get you in the playoffs. He's going to have some playoff success. He's already been to the finals. He went deep in the playoffs with KD. You do need help. I mean, we're all talking about what LeBron needs. You do need help, you know, but he's not leading you to a championship. He's like Allen Iverson. Iverson's an icon. Iverson was a first ballot Hall of Famer. He wasn't going to win no championship the way he
played. They won game one in L.A. Rob G. was scared when that happened. How old were you, 6?
They lost the next four.
I think I was 13.
You remember that?
You can tell by the style of play. Guards, high-volume shooters, low shooting percentage. They got great courage. They got great scoring ability. They have great athleticism. And they do what they do, and it's tremendous, but they're not going to win. Not a championship. And that's what Russell Westbrook is. I'm cool with it. I think he's still having a great career, but don't expect a championship. That's all a brother's saying. So, Rob G, stop hating. You done?
He's done.
All right. All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob, let's get to some baseball. Yesterday was a big day for Bryce Harper and Major League Baseball in general because he is pretty much the face of the league, along with maybe Aaron Judge and, to a lesser degree, the best player, Mike Trout.
Yep, and he's been the hot thing. I mean,
he's been on fire. Harper, you and I know it. I'm not going to go as far as you because I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but our picks as him being the National League MVP and leading the Phillies to the World Series are looking pretty good right now.
Yeah.
He's batting 500. Was he got three homers in five games or something like that?
Yeah, and he's just playing really well, and the team's playing well. They're 4-1. They lost today 9-8 on a bases-loaded walk, so the Nationals got the win of their first loss of the season. But he's been everything.
Yeah, two hits and two walks, I think.
Yeah, today. Two hits and two walks or three walks. He's been raking. And he's been everything the Philly fans could have wanted. You know what I mean, Chris, to start? The last thing you want is to sign a big guy. He struggles out of the gate. Your team's not winning. You know what I mean? And I know it's early. I know it's the first week of the season. It's not going to dictate how everything else plays out. But it just couldn't be better. And then you have the other people who can't stand Bryce Harper.
We saw that right? Last night. He goes back to Washington, of course, where he played, the first 7 years of his career.
Yep.
And left there for the division rival Phillies. Goes back last night, first trip back, and the Boo Birds came out. And early on, it looked like they got to him because he struck out, I think, his first two at-bats.
First two at-bats, and they were all over him.
Then he turned it up, a big double, big home run. Here's the home run call.
In the air to deep right field. This one. Strikeouts, then a single, a double, and a home run right into his cheering section. To deal an understatement, a satisfying night for Bryce Harper.
And the other part, too, is, Chris, any games that Philly fans can get to, you know, it's not too far from Philly.
Right.
They're going. I mean, you heard how loud that crowd was. There were a lot of Philly fans in D.C. for that. It wasn't a great night. It was a wet night. The game was delayed by more than an hour to start. But they were there in full force, and that's a great thing.
I'm going to throw this out to you as, you know, obviously a huge baseball fan that you are. And the game is still popular. They're still putting fans in the seats. But I think you have to admit, it right now it's not capturing the national imagination like football, the NFL, or the NBA. I would argue that, like, one of the things that's made the NBA, in my view, so popular of late is the storylines, the personalities of the players. You know, they're the most recognizable athletes in the country, even more so than NFL players. They've got most of the commercials. They're most marketable. They're the bigger presence on social media. And the storylines, LeBron and the drama he brings, he's very polarizing. Russell Westbrook, polarizing. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, even Steph Curry, polarizing. Like, they've got a number of polarizing guys. Baseball, I'm thinking Bryce Harper is polarizing, which I think is good for the sport. I have trouble thinking of who else is polarizing on a national level like him. What do you think? Say to me saying baseball could use, like, one of the ways they can regain the national momentum they've always had is to let these guys' personalities shine forth, market their personalities, their individuality, and some of these guys are going to end up being polarizing like Harper, but I think that's good for the sport.
Yeah, I think it's a cyclical thing. There used to be plenty of polarizing guys, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa. There was Reggie Jackson years ago. People either liked him or hated him no matter what team he was on. So I get
now,
that.
Now, let me ask, were Bonds and Sosa polarizing because of the, you know, supposed PED use?
No, even before that. Even before it really came
not
out.
Not Sosa.
Bonds. Yeah, a lot of people just didn't like it.
I mean, he just wasn't really on the radar.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, there was people liked him and thought he was all that. Other people, they didn't. They had teams. A-Rod polarizing, right? Even before there was any, right? There were people who just didn't like him. Oh, he looks too clean cut and he's phony and he's this, he's that. All kinds of stuff despite the great numbers he put up. So I do get that. Polarizing is good. Even though one of baseball's biggest stars is Aaron Judge, who's not polarizing, who is a guy that people, even though he plays for the hated Yankees, people go, I like Aaron Judge. You know what I mean? Like, I like him. He's a good player. He hits home runs. He's always got a smile on his face. You know what I mean, Chris? He's not a guy that, I don't know how many people really hate Aaron Judge, but I do agree
he's
that
he's wildly popular, too. I mean, I think perhaps playing for the Yankees is polarizing enough.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're as an individual, is not polarizing, but just the Yankees, because they're the quote unquote evil empire and and all of that stuff. Hey, maybe that is enough. And I also think with Judge, it may be like Shaquille O'Neal, because Shaq, nobody really hated Shaq. But maybe because Judge is a relative giant, you know, physically.
No, right.
In baseball, that just in and of itself is going to draw people to
and
you.
He hits the long ball. You know that. It's just
and
something
dig
about
the long ball.
Chicks dig. There's
right?
no
I heard that somewhere.
There's no doubt about it, though.
It's my ball's going to be swinging.
But polarizing is not bad. So I do agree with that. And the funny thing is, Bryce Harper has overtaken Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, his first 2 years, sold the most baseball jerseys, you know, in MLB. And this year, Bryce Harper is now the leading jersey seller. So that's pretty interesting to me.
Is that surprising? It's not surprising to me.
You think it's just the money?
Well, going to a new team always helps.
Yeah. Well, right, because those are new jerseys, no doubt. No doubt.
So I think, and I would have to say, as great as Judge is, and he was both our picks for AL MVP.
Yep.
I still think Harper would be the face of the league. If you had to pick one.
No, right now, there's no doubt in my mind. After Judge put on that performance that we saw in the All-Star game in Miami, if you remember that 2 years ago, Chris, where he was down 24 home runs and stormed back. You remember that was just like a show that we had never seen. And I remember that, thinking this guy is like the star, the face of the game. But I think Harper has the big money contract. Now he's on a team that's really good, and there's a lot of high hopes. And he comes out of the gate with batting. What'd you say? He's batting 500.
500. He's batting 500.
Three home runs in five games. I mean, this is the start you want.
No question. No question. Is there anyone else? I mean, I'm having trouble thinking of another guy that's polarized.
That rubs you the wrong way in baseball.
Ron Darling.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. Boy, that's some story there, isn't it?
Man, for those that don't know, Ron Darling's written this book, just coming out. Obviously, he's played for the 1986 Mets,
which is a famous team. You know what I mean?
The most hallowed team in Mets. I mean, their few championship teams are very hallowed.
Right.
You know, because it was dramatic. Was it 68? Mets or 69
Mets.
Yeah. But that team is beloved. Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden, Hernandez.
It's like great team, right?
Yeah, superstar laden. And he's come out and said Lenny Dykstra, you know, was making racist comments to Dennis Oilcan Boyd from the Red Sox.
And that helped fuel them to win the World Series.
Right, right.
So,
but all the teammates have come out and denied it. And, you know, we don't have to get into that, but that's what we're referring to.
So what about, so polarizing, I mean, when you look at baseball now, is there any other guys who either rub you the wrong way, you don't like? Because I think Clemens used to be like that as well.
No question. You brought up an interesting point. If we go back, not even that far.
No, there were guys.
There were plenty. And you're right, not just because of the PEDs and the suspected use of that. I mean, Clemens was definitely polarizing. Pedro Martinez.
Yes, Pedro Martinez is a perfect example.
Mo Vaughn.
Yeah, there were a few of them, yes. And
I mean, you could find, there were guys like that back in the day.
It's a friendlier, nicer Major League Baseball or not?
Yeah, I think that's missing, man. I want some of that.
Don't we like Mookie Betts with the Red Sox?
He's too nice.
He's another great, but he's a great player.
How do you like Mookie Betts?
Right. I don't know how anybody could say, I can't stand that Mookie Betts.
No. The two best players in the league might be Mookie Betts and Mike Trout.
And you know what? When you think about us and what we do, and people could say whatever they want in our business, you don't want to be in the middle of the fence and just kind of like be – you want people to either like you or dislike you. You want to – You know what I mean? And I think
always tell our callers what? Have a take.
Right.
Don't give us this, LeBron and MJ. They're both the GOAT.
Exactly. Kareem, we don't want to hear that.
Three of them are the GOAT. You know, no. Have a take. Because when you're in the barbershop, when you're in your living room talking with your family, when you're at the basketball court talking with your boys, you come with a take.
Except for at LeBron's shop, because they all agree with whatever he says, no matter what.
they really do.
They do,
really
Chris. Do. You know
them. I like the show, but they really do.
They all agree.
I know.
And they pour themselves another glass of wine.
I don't think they really all agree, but I think they sit there and act like they agree,
they
right?
They feel like, well, it's his show. Will they stop rolling the camera?
Right,
You know, like some people, they might stop the camera, Chris. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. You're right. But next year, I want to see some real drama up in the shop.
Absolutely.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Interesting article, Rob, in The Ringer. I think it came out today. The title was, Should LeBron James Be Left Off the All-NBA Team?
Yes way, yes how.
Now, I'm a voter. And the way it goes is you have to vote by position. You can't put...
This is not like the NBA where you could be positionless. You got to be by your position.
A traditional center. So you can't say, let me put Blake Griffin at center because I want him, you know,
on
to
the
make
team,
a
right.
team. Right.
No.
So has to be a traditional center, has to be two guards, and has to be two forwards. Not so much small forward, power forward, but two forwards. And this was an interesting article. I think for the first time, and I don't know how many years, but for the first time in a long time, he certainly, and I can say this with absolute belief and absolute truth, he certainly will not be first team All-NBA.
How hard is that, Chris? Does that sting a little bit?
No. Why? Am I his agent?
I don't know. I'm asking.
No. I'll have a horse in the game.
Okay.
Horse in the race. Nah, man, I keep it objective. He will not be first team All-NBA.
Are you sure? Maybe people are going to still put him in because...
Nah, there's no way.
No.
No way. Absolutely no way. Now, I can give you...
I thought you say nobody scores 28, 27, 8, and 8. Isn't that what he's put up?
There's no way. Yeah, he has. 27, 8, and 8.
That's not good enough to be first team?
Nah, because other guys have done great things. First team is going to be between these three guys. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's probably going to be the MVP. He's definitely on there.
Who could be the second? Who could be runner-up in MVP? Okay, go ahead.
At the very least.
Right.
But he's going to be the MVP. But Giannis, and then you got Kevin Durant and Paul George fighting for that other forward spot. Right now, I'm leaning KD.
Because Paul George was rolling, and then things just kind of fell off the table.
Yeah, the last month or so, he hasn't been what he was. He's still playing well. Now,
no,
a lot of people got the shoulder injury.
Right. But I'm just saying,
the team is falling.
Before,
they struggled.
Before, it would be like, no doubt about it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but even to me, it was always close. Because KD is just – if KD is playing well – he's just one of those guys that's always going to be in consideration for first team.
I mean, he's that good. I get that.
You know?
Right, okay.
And obviously the team's having success. So I right now I'm leaning Giannis and KD first team. Second team to me is between Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron James.
Wow.
And I'm just going to keep it real. Now I reserve the right. We heard Howard Beck, another voter on the last hour. He said he reserves the right to change his mind. The ballots aren't due till April 12th. That's next Friday. And I'm holding out too. I'm going to think about this. I take it seriously and really, you know, look closely at who I want to vote for. But I've thought about this, Rob. And Paul George is definitely making second team on my ballot. Or if not first, he's going to be on the second team.
Okay, so that
he's
been
the third best forward. Right now, I am leaning LeBron James over Kawhi Leonard. And here's why. Kawhi Leonard has sat out 22 games. That's a quarter of the season for rest. Rest. Or they're calling it load management. I'm sorry, I don't want to reward that. You're 27 years old. You're coming off a season in which you played 9 games. There's been no sign at all that you're still hurt, injured, bothered by what happened last year, and you need 22 games off? LeBron's in his 16th season. He didn't sit out 22 games for rest. He got hurt. So Kawhi's going to end up playing more games. But right now, Kawhi's played one more game than LeBron. That's it. And then on top of that, and Kawhi's their best player, clearly. But they've won 68% of their games when Kawhi has played. And 78% when he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying they're better without him, but that's a heck of a number. That's not a small sample size. That's 22 games. So I look at LeBron James, and obviously it's not his typical year because we're used to him winning. But 27 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. His rebounds and assists are higher than Kawhi's. His points per game are higher than Kawhi's. His shooting percentage is higher than Kawhi's. When he's on the floor with the Lakers, as bad as he looked after the All-Star break, at least in terms of leading them to victory, they were 28-27. When he's off the floor, they were 7-15. So they're obviously a better team when he's on the floor. I'm just saying right now, I'm leaning toward LeBron and Paul George on my second team and Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge on my third team as the forwards.
I see, because LeBron's going nowhere and he had a lot of empty stats. And I get the rest load management BS, because I'm against
right?
that as well.
I'm against that as well. I was all going to vote for Kawhi over LeBron, but then I was like, man.
But then my only issue is one guy's played in more meaningful games and going to the playoffs, where LeBron, his season's been over for about 2 months. And so
I wouldn't say that.
Well, it has
about
been.
About 3 weeks.
Really?
About 3 weeks that they've been out of it.
So you're saying then now before.
I think they were trying. Two months ago, they were trying to get in. Hey, no, 2 months ago was February.
Well, but my point is then it wasn't when they were 6-12 when he was gone. So the season was still going.
No, he was trying to get them in, but he was playing good ball. He just wasn't winning.
Yeah, I just.
I mean, Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, they've been on all NBA teams the last few years. They didn't win much.
I think winning matters. I'm just saying, this is the way I would look at it.
But they win more without. What about that? Did the Raptors win more without Kawhi?
Yeah, but sometimes we looked at that. We looked at some other. I can't remember who else we looked at. Kyrie, we looked at that. That's always a thing thrown out there. You still would want Kyrie if you were starting a team. So I do get that sometimes teams still play well, but ultimately I still want Kawhi and I still want Kyrie.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I just
Kawhi is their best player.
He's their best player, and they have a better shot with him. So I'm just I hear your point. This year, because of the way things went down, I don't think I would put LeBron as a second team. I think I would drop him to 13 this year.
So you putting Kawhi on there?
Yep, I would. Because at least they're still in the top of the East, and they're going to the playoffs, and they got a shot. And they got a shot because of Kawhi.
Yeah, look, I'm not, you know, if Kawhi makes second team and it's Kawhi and Paul George and LeBron's on third.
It won't
third,
kill you, right?
No. I think like you, I just, come on, man. 22 games?
It's a lot.
For rest?
I'm with you.
I just,
and if I was in Toronto,
like
I would have started the class actions lawsuit as well. I'm telling you, one of these days, I'm going to get it started.
Well, yeah, I mean, that to your point, I mean, we talked about that yesterday, like players getting their money back and all, or, you know, fans getting their money back. But Kawhi's 27.
That's a lot of games to miss.
He's in his eighth year.
And remember, he wouldn't come back to play in San Antonio, even though their doctors cleared him.
You basically had load management all last season.
So you basically had year and a quarter off, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to bash Kawhi. I like him. He's obviously a great player.
And he's funny, too. Nah, maybe not.
But, Rob, I just don't want to reward sitting out. This a quarter of the season. A quarter of the season.
No, I get it.
That'd be like sitting out 40 baseball games.
No, you can't do that.
Or what? Four football games just to rest?
Yeah, that would be.
And again, at such a young age, I would get it if you were older. If it was LeBron, just at his stage of his career, I could get that. But I'm not, and Toronto's going with it because they just want to do whatever it takes, you know, appease him in every single way to get him to re-sign. So I'm just not sure, though, Rob. And I'm open to it. I mean, look, you're right. They're the second best team in the East by record. And even though they won more without him, he's obviously their best player. He's much better at this point than LeBron defensively. You know, so there is an argument for Kawhi. I'm just bothered by the 22 games for rest. I'm much less bothered by LeBron missing 18 games because he was injured, and then the final six because maybe the injury's still lingering. Or, you know, they just want to rest him for getting him healthy for next season because he's 34 years old.
Or maybe because they're out of the playoffs and they just decide that they don't want to play.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when a guy's that old and that at that stage of his career.
Unless
but
you
just,
brought your kid birthday tickets to go see him play.
So come on, man. How you going to talk out of both sides of your mouth?
I'm not.
Then?
I just said
you're
that.
You mad at LeBron for six games?
I said
but
the
you're
same
gonna
with
vote,
Kawhi.
You're going to reward Kawhi
no, what did
for
I say?
22 games?
I said I would be the one leading the class action lawsuit in Toronto.
Why don't you lead the cry for LeBron to be second team?
Because I just think this year is so empty. This is like, this
it's
might be.
It's a bad year.
It's a bad year, like all around. Just the optics sometimes. I know he got numbers, Chris, but no way did you expect them to be where they were.
No.
I mean, this is as bad as it gets. If you're
yeah,
a Laker
but it's
fan.
It's not all over him.
I'm not
him.
Saying it's all him, but I'm just saying when LeBron comes to L.A., and we're going to see what? Ratings drops for the playoffs and all this other stuff.
But we didn't know. That has nothing to do with all NBA
No,
teams.
I know. I'm
we
just saying
know
how bad it was is what
he,
I meant.
He got injured. Worst injury of his career. The other players got injured. You know, and I get it. After he came back, it was still bad. So
right.
I'm not going away from that. But the roster didn't make sense.
But they you know, did have just, a they did just, have a chance.
It's
and
not
they,
all on him.
And they had some bad teams that they could have beat to get back in the playoff hunt. And they didn't.
But
do
he
it.
Still, you call him empty numbers. I don't. They're when, not. They didn't lead to what they usually lead to for LeBron.
When you lose when to the team that they lost to, they're empty.
When you can get 27-8-8 on 51% shooting, that's not empty.
Yeah, but you didn't beat St. Louis. You didn't beat
St. Louis.
I mean, St. Louis. I was thinking about the Hawks.
Are they playing baseball?
I was thinking about
you
the Hawks.
You still thinking about Bryce Harper?
No, the St. Louis Hawks. I'm sorry.
Atlanta Hawks.